Blog Talk Radio.
I still believe in marriage is made in heaven, and that love will conquer all. I've been hurt, but not deceived. Regardless to what has happened, I still believe. All things work together for my good. Opposition comes against me, yet I proceed. Cause no matter what I'm facing, I still believe.
The dome is not perfect, so it's not keeping it going, but
I just want to remind you that I told you that this is what it was going to come to because of the fall, the Arab Spring that has happened. Because now you don't have the Egyptian government there in place that's going to make sure that, there's no fight between, the Gaza Strip and Israel. And now the new people in Egypt are saying, well, you know what? We're going to make sure that we're not going to leave Hamas alone. We're not going to leave the Gaza, alone. We're going to help. So now you're going to have Egypt jumping in this fight, and it's going to probably draw in Syria, as seeing as that's where the rockets are being launched from, is that part of Syria that abuts Israel. And what you're going to see is you're going to see a huge mess, and you may see, I don't know whether this will happen, but you may see them destroy Damascus. But that's one of the things that is scheduled to happen in the Bible, and it doesn't necessarily mean Armageddon or this, that, and the other. It just means it's going to happen one day. And so we look forward to that. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We look forward to the hand of God moving and trying to bring peace everywhere. But he says there shall be no peace until he comes back again. And so for those believer friends of mine, I welcome you to that thought. And for everybody else, just look up and pay attention and see whether the words that we're saying are true. And then make sure that you are right with Jesus Christ. If you believe in him or don't believe in him, it makes a difference on how you're going to see what's going on. So I look to you to take part in this conversation. You can give me a call here at 330-781-9600 or on our unlimited internet lines, 1-347-945-5229. It's been getting a little hot in here, I see, in the past few days, and Tracy's been holding it down, but nobody, people aren't realizing what you're getting ready to deal with here. But once again, afternoon with Tracy and Friends here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and on WSOM 600 AM on iHeartRadio and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. You can enter and call us there and listen in on the show and also be, also be informed of what's going on and get in our chat room and take part in what's going on here. This is a very serious time that we've entered into, a very dangerous time, because that does not mean that we could, just pay attention to what's going on in the Middle East. I really feel bad about people to just think this has nothing to do with the election or nothing that just happened. It absolutely has to do with the election. And why you would think that it doesn't have, why you think it's just coincidence that Israel gets attacked once it is known that President Obama has been re-elected. Now, that doesn't mean that they should get attacked for that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this, that since 1948, when Israel became a nation, every president in the United States has been a friend of Israel. One time we had one that was going to pull back. His name was Richard Nixon. But he remembered his mother telling him before she passed away one day. I don't know whether she was alive or she had passed away and the words came to him. I can't remember the story directly. But as it stood, they said, you are in position to help the people of God, and it is on you to go ahead and give them the help that they've asked for. And he relented, and they won that war as well and won more ground. This is really heavy because it's spiritual and it's secular. You had Ehud Barak, the general of Israel, and you have Benjamin Netanyahu that are very strong leaders of Israel. And boy, should they be there at this time. It is definitely a setup that they're there at this time, because otherwise you would not be seeing a good outcome of what's going on there if you did not have some strong leaders. Now, I know there's people on the other side of this argument, and if you want to call me and tell me about it, I sure want to know and understand more, because I don't live there, so I don't know every little facet of things that are going on. Do I think that Israel treats their enemies correctly all the time? I don't think so. But do I think that that land is theirs and Jerusalem should be the capital of Israel? I agree with that point, only because my Bible says that it is true. This is another reason why those that believe in radical Islam will attack you and kill you, because they think that that's an infidel Zionist thought instead of what the truth is, because their Quran says something different. So we see that we have these two warring factors that are brothers, and they are going to war until Jesus comes back. We're sitting here not taking it spiritually, because most of us have no idea, even those that call themselves Christians, have no idea what the Bible says about this conflict. So we try to solve it in secular terms. It's not going to work. You cannot solve this in a secular term. You can't use terminology a certain way to try to understand or get what's going on here. You have to take a look at everything. A lot of things are coming out of the White House today. You're seeing that they brought up General Petraeus, and General Petraeus testifies, and I want you to listen carefully for those of you that agree and those of you who disagree with me. General Petraeus testifies that he always strongly told them that it was a terrorist attack, because there were terrorist elements in outside of the embassy in Benghazi. Now, that's not what was in the talking points, nor is it what he said earlier when he was asked about it in a soundbite, you know, in a new soundbite about a month or so ago. So that means that General Petraeus was probably being blackmailed to say what people wanted him to say, whoever those people are. I'm not saying it was the president, but it was Attorney Holder that was directly in the middle of all of this, because he said he did not choose to tell the president about the attack on the embassy in July, and he did not attempt to tell him about all the threats and the request for help that the ambassador and his staff were sending to the United States. The CIA is involved. The CIA talking points, the original ones, did not match up with what was given to Susan Rice. Now, Susan Rice, to me, well, you know where I'm at with this. I believe this is one of the most, if not the most, inept group of people ever to rule the country. I'm of the statement that the Bible says it's a shame for a fool to be in the place of a king. Doesn't mean that I think that the president is a fool per se, but it means that for somebody that does not rise to that type of ability, it's a shame that they are the ones that are running something that they know nothing about running. The world is in a shambles. Everything that is going on is directly responsible right now to the Republicans. Listen to me. I'm being like the people around me in my area here. Are directly responsible for what's going on in the White House. Directly responsible. Now, what can you do? What can you say about what's going on here if it's not what we said it was in the first place? Where are you? What do you think? You think this is a good idea? Or is this the smokescreen needed to push through more government controls upon the people and upon the necks of the people of America? Is this the way that we control things, by letting the Middle East blow up? Because right now it's far away from us. So now, how does that square, people? Do you think you did the right thing? It probably certainly is the will of God for certain reasons, because it's God that brings one up and tears another down. I just can't understand. But I'll say this. We better wake up to what we're doing in this country. When you have the youth on your streets murdering each other at alarming rates, when you have our government legalizing, and the judges did it, the Supreme Court did it, the killing of 1.3 million babies a year, wholesale. Do you realize how big an industry that is? If you don't like corporate, things going on, then you better look into the abortion mills, because they're huge. Wake up, people. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. We're doing ourselves in, and we're doing it quickly. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends will be right back.
This is Henry Nemens, inviting you to shop Nemens IGA on the Square in Canfield, the Lincoln Knowles Plaza, or Creed Street in Struthers. Nemens IGA meats are USDA choice. Nemens Bakery makes all cakes from scratch, the very best Italian bread in town. Nemens IGA, quality you deserve. Quality, selection, and value. That's Nemens IGA.
Are you satisfied with your current level of reproductive health care? Have you been considering making a change? Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley are accepting new patients. Call 330-746-7007 for comprehensive female care that includes fertility treatment, contraception management, and prenatal care through delivery. Dr. Hill and Associates in Women's Health of Mahoning Valley provide individualized, personalized care in a soothing, first-class environment. Call 330-746-7007. Most insurances accepted.
The Curiosity Shop, located in Canfield, Ohio on Route 224, is an upscale consignment shop with downtown charm and fashion-forward taste. a women's clothing and accessory store that offers carefully selected items with friendly service in a boutique-like atmosphere. The Curiosity Shop is never overcrowded and always a great shopping experience. Ann Klein, Escada, Liz Claiborne, Ann Taylor, Dana Buckman, and more. From petite to full figure, the Curiosity Shop is the place for you. Open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 4. Located on Route 224 in the Hilltop Village Plaza next to McDonald's in Canfield. It's fashion on a budget. It's the Curiosity Shop.
Pastor Tyrone talking at you. Hey, at the end of the year, we all made some sort of New Year's resolution. Hey, how's that going? I'd like to encourage you towards one addendum to your resolution. Be resolved to love all the more. And if you're able, join us in love, prayer, and giving at HeartReach. You can reach us anytime. Check us out on the web. You can reach us at www.heartreach.com or hit us on Facebook. Or if you're so inclined, call us at 330-744-2000. We're an inner-city organization of believers present to make a difference for the glory of God. We are transforming our community one child at a time. And that's what we do at HeartReach. And we hope the listening audience across the nation will do the same. Be resolved to love all the more and hit us at HeartReach. We love you. Woo!
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
What about free shoes for life? If you had a chance to win free shoes for life, would you want it? And if you had a chance to win a $500 gift card each and every month, would you want it? Well, here it is. This year, every time you visit Ryer Shoe Store, you can register for your chance to win free shoes for life. And every month, we're giving away a $500 gift card, too. So zip on over to Ryer's and register for your chance to win. And know this. If your feet are hard to fit, Ryers is your shoe store. We have sizes and a great sales staff who know how to fit you right. Ryers offers superior service, a fabulous collection, and competitive prices. Just by driving a couple more miles, by shopping Ryers, your feet leave with smiles. And a chance to win free shoes for life. No purchase necessary, no tax on shoes. In beautiful downtown Sharon.
Vukasinovich & Associates is a private mental health and substance abuse treatment group. We address a wide range of addictions and mental health issues for adolescents and adults. We are currently accepting new clients at our Boardman office. If you need help, call us at 1-888-440-0982 to schedule an appointment. We accept public and private insurances. Vukasinovich & Associates is a subsidiary of Consortium Clinical Services. Call 1-888-440-0982 for an appointment. That's 1-888-440-0982.
We're back with Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM, 347-945-5229, or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM, online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we are back once again, afternoon with Tracy and friends here on WSOM 600 AM. We are here talking about what's on your mind and giving you a little taste of what's on our mind. And we have callers on the line. I believe this is South Carolina. This is you're on the air, my friend.
Hey, hey. How's everybody doing today?
No, doing great.
Good, good. It finally stopped raining here in South Carolina, so...
I'm out
in the house trying to do my little you know, the Toys for Tots again, folks. Support your local toy store campaign.
It's not for time.
I have to send her a little advertising, you know, budget. Help her advertise the budget out for that. But listen, Jeff, I'm watching watching these returns on General Petraeus.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting that how they're going to spend this thing, because on the one hand, Ms. Rice has got a dilemma. She went out and said one thing. General Petraeus is saying he knew within 24 hours that it was a terrorist attack. The president said it was a terrorist attack. I mean, there was video. So in all of this, who's telling the truth? How are the American people going to get the truth?
Here's the other caveat to that. Petraeus tells Congress the Obama administration altered CIA talking points about Benghazi. So that should tell you, which we said in the first place. They said there's no way. You're looking right at this stupid film, and you're getting real time these guys setting up mortars and RPGs, et cetera, et cetera. How in the world are these people, and 50 caliber machine guns? I didn't know the 50 calibers were there before, but I'm here. I heard that this morning. 50 caliber machine guns, and that is nobody's terrorist attack. I mean, nobody's doggone unruly mob, you know, arguing against the thing, against a stupid film. The film.
They're just walking there with a 50 cal on your shoulder. It don't work.
No. Who's gonna put up with that one? You know, and so my thing is, and then they tell so they don't make it a bigger thing. They allow this man to die, and so that he can't tell the truth. And so you have a cloud sitting right up over your head right now, and that's what angers me like you wouldn't believe. And I'm not talking about an anger where I hate or nothing like that. I'm angry at why does somebody have one of our guys that puts his life on the line have to die because of ineptitude in the White House? Because that's where it's at. I don't care whether it reached the president or not. It's ineptitude. It's inept leadership.
Not that right.
Yeah, well, it is, but you know what? There's not enough of us screaming it. There wasn't enough of us. You know, the news people didn't want to really interview people about this, you know, but they had to after the election because they know people know about it. And
well,
so now.
It was dealing with sex, so they had to do something about it. Now what you got is, and I'm looking at it this way, this young lady, that's just this biographer, her head's going to roll. Because if I'm not mistaken, this lady is a major in the United States Reserve.
Right.
So if she's a major, and he's a general, and all this occurred while he was a general, he's retired, they can't touch him. However, they're going to get her for fraternization, big time. And you know how the UCMJ deals with that. It's not pretty. It's not going to be pretty.
Not only that, I think you're going to find out, and I think you're going to see that she was a plant. Now, that's my own personal belief. But I believe that she was a plant. Because now, look at what happens. You put Kerry in charge of your military as Department of Defense. This guy. And I want to call him a name that, you know, I really shouldn't say on the air. But you're sitting up here looking at, you know, this Petraeus also not going to be in position, one of the greatest military minds we have. I don't know what ticked off Colin Powell to make him say, yes, we want this man back in again. Unless they're going to put Colin Powell in that Secretary of Defense position. Now, I don't think he wants another position, but, you know, at the same time, we'd have to see. But I don't know whether he would. Huh?
I was very surprised that he did that. And I was waiting to the very end. I mean, that was kind of dumbfounding. I don't know. It makes me wonder if he felt that way all the whole time, you know. And to me, that was very deceitful, you know.
Well, it's very telling because he was responsible for a lot of things that happened with the Bush White House. And so if he was in there sabotaging, he was in a very good position to do it. And if the other Secretary of Defense were correct, see, I've always taken Colin Powell's side of things because I had a great respect for Colin Powell. I took his side of things when he was saying that they went around him in the White House, blah, blah, blah. But they might have had very good reason to go around him. And when they found out
that... That would make sense.
It would make a lot of sense. So I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure of this, but that's a thought. That's a thought. Give me a call here, 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. But no, this is really disturbing. Now, what do you do if it's found out that the White House did this?
Wow, I don't know.
It's treason.
I don't think you'll take do the honorable thing and do like Tricky Dick did and resign. I don't think you'll do that.
It wouldn't help him anyway because that would be treason. And not only that, he caused the death of American personnel.
Wow. That's
a guy on my internet site said this morning that I'm filling the air with hate and suspicion because of, you know, these things I'm saying. I'm saying, look, this man is the one filling the air with hate and suspicion because he's making everything that you have to figure out as you go along here, and you don't see anything. There's nothing transparent, nothing at all. And, you know, and the news media would be all over him if he were a Republican, but he's not. He is a far-left, progressive, liberal Democrat. He's a Marxist socialist, and that's what he does. Now, that's who he is, I should say, but... And you say those things, you get, oh, I'm just so mad, you don't call him that. What do you mean don't call him that? He calls himself that. You're the one that's left behind. That burns me up to hear that. You know that. I had a young lady, very well-learned young lady, attack me because they said, well, why aren't you supporting Barack Obama for president? I said, because he's a Marxist socialist, and I don't think that works with America. And she jumped on me. You insulted him. We can't have no discussion because of that. I said, wait a minute. You asked me why. Now, don't ask me why if you don't want to hear my reasons. Well, why do you think he's that? I said, did you read his book? She said, I have his book. I said, I don't care whether you have it. I have his book, too. But I said, but did you read his book? He tells you who he is. And just like when we had Stanley on here the other day, I had to tell Stanley. He tells you he has a 10-point plan to tear America down. So you can restart it all over again and build it up in a socialist manner. That's what he wants to do.
He is working the playbook for Saul Alinsky to the letter.
Every bit of it. From the class warfare.
Exactly.
The 1% against the 99%, which that was so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That was so
stupid. I mean,
stupid.
Just you know, even on up to the terminology that he's using, the term Ford. It's straight out of one of Karl Marx's slogans. So you know, we either are so, you know, just immune to it, or I really do think, Jeff, that the news media has a lot to do with this. The mainstream news media CBS, NBC, ABC, and really, to a certain extent, Fox as well. You know, I think they're all playing a part in it because they are showing their bias by not showing what's actually really happening. And a lot of these other news agencies, even listen, I have seen Al Jazeera, and yes, I looked at Al Jazeera and see.
Oh yeah, I did too.
Look at Al Jazeera to see what is going on, and a lot of times the story about the pipeline. Okay.
Right.
I'm trying to remember the name of it. But Al Jazeera reported that President Obama had a dilemma on his hands because on the one hand he was trying to appease the environmentalists, but on the other hand he was trying to appease the union and provide union jobs.
Well, you know what the problem is with the whole thing?
What's that?
How is that oil? Because they are still getting some. They're importing some of that oil anyway. How is it getting down to the Gulf?
Pipeline. They're not taking it all the way to the east or west coast and coming back through the Panama Canal.
Well,
they're
taking it by train. And guess who owns that train line that serves that particular area and carries that oil down that pipeline?
Yeah, don't tell me.
Warren Buffett. How can't you see this, people? I want to come out there and grab you by the shoulders and shake everybody in the country. I want to shake you. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely crazy ridiculous.
But the Koch brothers are evil.
The Koch brothers are evil. Because they're evil because the president declared war on them before he got in. He said that if you want to do a clean coal plant, we're going to make it so expensive that you're bankrupt trying to get it done. Now, that's what he said. That's not. And so the Koch brothers are trying to protect their interests. But the thing, I can't believe there's got to be somebody hearing my voice that thinks like what I just told you. I think you're crazy. Please call in and tell me that I am crazy so I can understand what you guys think that I don't think. I mean, I really, 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 really want to know. I'm not just saying this. If I'm wrong, I need somebody to point it out, and I need them to tell me kindly, said, Jeff, you're wrong, and this is why. And then give me some facts, please. If you give me that, I promise you I'll be a good guy and will shut up and won't say a word.
Well, what I'm saying is anytime they back any of them in the corner, they pull the Bush card. Not the race card, but the Bush card. When George Bush was in office, so and so and so and such. Okay? Even yesterday, they're reporting about the evil GOP and the evil Republicans are going after, you know, Susan Rice.
I'm seeing that. This
defenseless woman. Matter of fact, Jim Clyburn injected race into the whole issue by saying, yes, this poor defensive black woman.
Right.
And I'm like,
right,
dude, you had to go there. So,
well,
without George Bush, they have no defense.
They really don't. But you know,
I mean,
what?
Seriously.
The Jimmy Carter is turning handsprings. Because did he get a second term of his presidency going on here, he's now no longer the worst president to live. I'll be right back.
I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News. Darius Patton, a former standout football player at Poland Seminary High School, was found dead yesterday of an apparent suicide. Patton was the Valley's top football prospect in 2011, and he had accepted a scholarship to play football at the University of Pittsburgh. A federal judge in Akron says three men should be sentenced as terrorists after pleading guilty in an unsuccessful plot to bomb a highway bridge in Ohio. That ruling expands their possible sentences to 15 to 13 years or more. The judge will sentence Connor Stevens of Berea, Brandon Baxter of Lakewood, and Douglas Wright of Indianapolis on Tuesday. And a federal judge has rejected an appeal by an obese death row inmate that is unrelated to the inmate's attempt to stop his execution because of his weight. Condemned killer Ronald Post wants more time to pursue arguments. The claims he made of full confession to several people have been falsely exaggerated. You're up to date. I'm Mark Lavoie, WSOM News.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staple's Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Nothing says football like tailgating, and nothing beats tailgating in your very own Yuengling Little Guy trailer. Visit 600WSOM.com and look for the display while picking up your Yuengling Lager, Light Lager, and Black and Tan. That way you have two chances to win. Yuengling, America's oldest family-owned and operated brewery.
Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free, and your donation is tax-deductible. Just call 1-800-895-8035. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-895-8035. That's 1-800-895-8035.
Putting America and our valley back to work. Recognizing local companies and business owners that are generating new ideas and innovative concepts that are helping to lead our valley's workforce in the new economy.
Like ETI Technical College, creating quality programs in demand fields with options that save you time and money.
We offer several different programs, law, business, medicine, web design, accounting, some skilled trades. We give the students an opportunity to focus the curriculum solely around their area of interest, trimming away a lot of the fat, you know, saving them time, saving them money. Two things as you get older, you're going to wish you had more of, is time and money. And a college like ETI is able to save you both.
Putting America and our valley back to work. To find out how your business can be a part of our program, call 330-783-1000. That's 330-783-1000.
Steering Compressor, proud sponsor of Putting America and Our Valley Back to Work.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back here at WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial and on your iHeart radio dial as well. WSOM 600 AM and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. And I want you to go ahead and tune in there, one of those places. Check us out and give us a call here at 330-781-9600 or 1-347-945-5229. Sometimes I try to talk faster than I can actually get it out. And we're here talking about the attacks on Israel. We're talking about Benghazi, attack that we now are finding out is just as we thought it was in the first place, because only a fool would believe that it was as a result of some movie. But, of course, we had the people, the ladies on The View, swooning. Oh, was it about the movie? Those evil movie makers, those anti-Muslim people, this and that and other. Guess what? It wasn't about the movie. Okay, the guy is in jail that made the movie for nothing, and we're up there playing games. Local caller, you're on the air. I know who it is, but go ahead.
This is Steve.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm here. Jeff, what I have to say is that, I know people think I'm in left field for bringing up that certain religious group, and I won't talk about them anymore.
Yes, you will, but go ahead.
Well, I mean,
go ahead. Make your point.
Well, there's a reason why, Jeff. Those who are lovers of righteousness and crying and sighing over the bad conditions on the earth, they're pleading to God and asking him, how long he's going to allow so much human suffering to go on. And, that doesn't just apply to only in our nation.
No, you're talking about in all nations, and I can explain that to you, though, but go ahead.
Not just only in our nation, but it's talking about the whole world.
I said that I can explain that to you, too, but go ahead.
Well, I know why, because God's right to rule has been challenged in the Garden of Eden, and a certain angel who wanted to be like God, who rebelled, and of course he in heaven he was jealous.
You got your point. Go ahead.
Beautiful in form, and many people felt that God threw him out of heaven, but
and he did. But go ahead.
But I mean, then when he saw the woman Eve, he tempted her to.
Okay, but that doesn't get to the point, because that's not the point of why this stuff is going on.
No, the reason why is because of this angel who's rebellious angel.
That's part of the reason, but there's a specific reason. Why is it happening here in the United States like that? Okay. Now here's the reason. I'll cut to the chase because we can't stay here all day on that.
Oh, no, we can't.
Okay, but here's the thing. David said, I'm young, and now I'm old. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Which means the nations that know God are not going to be begging bread. Now, we have a lot of poor people in our country now where we didn't have before. We're under duress for a couple of things. One is our legalizing of murdering the innocents.
You're talking about
abortion. Two is our starting to legalize of another situation that is a non-productive relationship. And we're going to call it marriage. And God, one thing about God, if you look at the talents and all those things, God got ticked off when you did not produce or reproduce. That's what he gave you.
Yeah, because he told Adam.
And Eve to be fruitful and multiply and expand and subdue and bring under control the earth. But the thing is we've gone way away from the teachings of God. And God said, when you go away from my teachings, you're going to start losing. You're going to be the borrower and not the lender. You're going to be the tail and not the head. And he also says, after you get so far along, he said, your basket is going to start to waste away, which means your ability to feed your people.
But I mean, Jeff, do you believe that? I mean, most of y'all who are Judeo-Christians believe that this nation was founded on the principles of God.
It absolutely was. And
But then one would say, if it was, then why did the founding fathers have slaves? and they could have abolished slavery, and then wanted
you have to understand.
Native Americans, their land was taken from them.
Yep.
Here's the people who helped them to survive in this country that they were foreign to.
When the pilgrims came over to the United States,
they claimed to be Christians.
When the pilgrims came over to the United States, they were not the only ones that came over here. What did England do, or what did Europe do per se?
I don't know.
Okay, they emptied out their jails and sent them over here too. So when you get America and the people that did nasty things to people, you get a mixed bag of things going on. Okay? You get a mixed bag. So I understand where you're coming from, but you got some good people that came over here, and you have some very evil people that came over here.
Would you ever think, Jeff, that there was a form of hypocrisy?
In some people, absolutely. But the thing is you're acting as though all of the founding fathers owned slaves. You're acting as though all of the founding fathers did not like black people, this, that, and other, when those things are not true. Some didn't. There's no doubt. Okay? There's no doubt about it. So I can't argue that point and wouldn't.
What was his name now? He was the third president of the United States.
What about Thomas Jefferson you talking about?
Yeah. He had a young woman which would be considered as child.
And so what?
He was 11 years old.
So what? I mean, that's gone. He did it. He had to pay for that sin. He wasn't writing in the law that the United States has to do that or should do that and take part in that. He did. That was his sin. But when you say homosexuals should have to be married, okay, a civil union is not enough, that's legalizing something different. That's you doing something God said don't do and then saying making it legal so everybody else can take part in it. When you say you're allowed to kill your baby by the Supreme Court standards, that stands on, and that blood is against the United States. It's going to pay for that one day because the United States is secular government, even though it was based on Christian principle.
So in other words, you're saying that because of the United States and it implementing these liberal policies and also the United States allowed abortion to come in, that the cursings of God is going to...
You're dealing with it right now.
No, we're being cursed because of...
No, you're suffering loss and everything because of those things already. Okay, that's why since we legalized abortion, we've never won a war. Since we legalized abortion, we are borrowing money, 60 cents of every dollar. I think we're borrowing.
But okay. Jeff, I mean, do you actually believe that because of that God is really put a curse upon?
No. Listen. You ever get a owner's manual for appliance?
Don't know. What do you
okay,
mean?
Like for the refrigerator that's in your apartment or house, you got a manual that goes with that, right?
That
tells you how to operate it.
Right.
If you don't operate it like the manual told you to, guess what happens? It's going to start messing up on you.
Right.
Well, that's what's happening in the United States. They forgot the manual. Not only did they forget their own constitution right now, they forgot their own, that their basis was that they had a belief in God. That's why we have in God we trust on our money. See, so it's okay if you want to do that, but just know that it's not going to turn out well for you, okay? Plain and simple.
But, Jeff, one would say this nation, people have free will, and God has given us.
You hear what I just said? He says, I give before you, then I'm going to go to another caller.
Okay.
He said, I give you this day life. I put before you life and death. that you may choose. But he said, but choose life so that you may live and it will be well with thee. Okay, that's because God wants you to do well, but he wants you to choose the right thing. He doesn't want you to choose crazy stuff and take yourself to hell or destroy your own neighborhood and family or your country. That's the point.
You also say that abortion is not good for, it's what you call, it's a genocide.
It's murdering innocents, Doc. That's plain and simple. I don't know what else you can put it in, but I got to go on to another caller. Thanks for your call, Steve.
Okay, you take care, Jeff.
Yeah, okay, 407, you're on the air.
Hey, Jeff, this is Alex. How you doing?
Man, what you doing calling from a new number, man?
Usually
call from a 724.
I call from 412.
Yeah, 412, excuse me.
Phone.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I live in Orlando. 407 is Orlando. And, you know.
Oh, okay, bet. My nephew is down there. He needs a job.
A lot of people do, though, here.
I know.
I'm one of the luckiest. Yeah. But I wanted to challenge you. I wanted to ask you something. All right. Do you believe in the Christian doctrine of just war theory that was developed it's just as old, almost as old as the church? It was developed in the second and third century of AD. I'm just curious if you believe in the just war theory or the just war doctrine that was developed by the church.
Well, because, I don't know about a just war doctrine,
essentially, it's that you only fight peaceful wars, only in defense of, only when you've been attacked. So my question is because I was listening to what you're saying about, you know, homosexuality and abortion and God punishing America for that. There's a lot of things America has done, and so why would you single that out for why God would want to punish America if God cared at all, you know, because we preemptively strike other countries, bomb other countries, and
sure.
There's a lot of things that we've done that we've caused. America has a lot of blood on its hands in Central and South America, and definitely in Africa and in the Middle East, and I just find it interesting to single that out as a reason why.
That's a reason why, because God tells you what he's going to do when you do those things. He says that there's specific passages where other peoples have done these things. One of them was the people that worship the god Molech. They used to offer their children on a fiery altar alive to Molech. And he told the children of Israel, if you start doing this, he said, this is what I'm going to do to you, because this is what happens. He said, don't take on the practices of the heathen of the countries that you find yourself entering into. He says, when you do that, this is what's going to happen. Well, those are principles of how to live. They're not just principles or nice stories or stories to tell that are full of drama and everything in the Bible. They're real stories, and I'm not going to be able to finish this before I get off of here, because we got to go to the news, and 269, you're going to be up as well. But, Alex, we're going to explore this little bit when we get right back from this. Afternoon with Tracy and friends, you are in the air chair with Jeff Green. We will have some other friends in here in a little bit, I believe, and we'll talk to you later.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600. Here's Tracy Winbush.
Do you remember the song? Audience, do you remember that song? Yeah, they remember that song. You know what that means? It means y'all some old... We'll just leave that alone. I don't remember that song. Tracy told me about it, though. Anyway, here we are, afternoon with Tracy and friends here. Jeff in the air chair. It is now 8 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock here on WSOM 600 AM, WSOM 600 AM on iHeartRadio and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. The numbers you can call in at 330-781-9600 or at our unlimited internet lines 1-347-945-5229. I'd like to tell you about one of our new sponsors, Mr. Perfume & More, located at 7101 Lockwood Boulevard in the Mill Creek Plaza. It's right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. And Mr. Perfume & More has the latest and greatest perfume and cologne fragrances, as well as designer handbags and accessories to offer in the area. They are brand spanking new, and I want you to go in and talk to Ned and see Mr. Perfume. He's the area's foremost person on perfumes and colognes in the area. And he also has those handbags and accessories to offer as well. So it's that time of the year where you're getting ready to vote. Getting ready to buy a gift for you or your loved ones. And those that like fragrances and like style, you want to go to Mr. Perfume, 7101 Lockwood Boulevard in the Mill Creek Plaza, right next to the Blue Wolf Banquet Center. They're open every day from 11 to 7. So I want you to go check him out. And his commercial will be running here shortly. But he's the newest one of our people that we're showcasing and supports the show here. So make sure you go visit him and give him a call. I will have his number up in the next segment, as I don't have it in front of me, but I will have it, and we will talk about it. How about that? Anyway, we're talking about a lot of things going on. And, Alex, you were talking to me about some kind of doctrine of the church on righteous war or whatever.
Yeah, it's just the war doctrine, you know. The first church essentially established that that go to war unless it was for basically in defense of defense of your country or your people or whatever. After it has to be defensive and not offensive, basically. You can't just go outright attack someone.
Sure, I understand.
Because you don't like what they're doing. And that's the gist of it. I mean, you can read up on it, but I was just trying to
first
see
of all
where that fit in, you know, with just what America's doing in the world and how you perceive that, how Christians in general perceive that, because
well,
America has done a lot of bad things, and I just find
there's
it
no,
interesting.
There's no doubt,
okay. Homosexuality and abortion.
Yeah, but see, you have to understand something here. First of all, usually wars are done because somebody has done something to somebody else. They usually fought over money, and whether it was an assassination of one other person over another, it usually had its roots in somebody took somebody's money or is trying to, or they're trying to take your way of life, blah, blah, blah. But the point is this, is that I don't take anything from the what you call the first church. I don't believe in pretty much anything that they say because they weren't started as a result of their belief in Christianity. They were started as a result of Constantine's version of Christianity. And so therefore they are null and void to me. Okay? I'm not with that doctrine at all. Although I do believe that people that follow that doctrine, as long as they really believe in Jesus Christ, I believe that they're saved and that they're Christians as well as I am. But the thing is Catholicism was started by Constantine. And all Constantine did was Christianize every pagan holiday that there was. That's why you have a Christ Mass. And Resurrection Sunday in the spring is called Easter. What are you calling the Resurrection Sunday Easter? Well, that comes out of that church that you're talking about, that first church, which was Constantine's doctrine. Okay, Constantine, and like I said, and this is not to besmirch Catholic, you know, Catholics, because they, like I said, if they believe in God, because there's people in Protestant churches that are that say that they're Christians and they are not by any means. Okay, and so therefore, it all goes back to what you believe. You have to look at the Old Testament to get a view of what the New Testament is really saying. And what God meant by what he was saying and what came through the cross and what did not come through the cross. And so it's too hard to just explain, but no, I don't go for the doctrine that, that the only reason you have to go to war is if somebody, attacked you there. You have a lot of reasons, because when you put your people and your businesses in harm's way, and you leave them, and that nation mistreats them like they did our embassy, well, that's a reason for war. They didn't come over here and attack us, but that's a reason for war.
But how can you readily dismiss it when, I know that you follow the Bible, but it wasn't necessarily Constantine. It was under his direction the Council of Nicaea was formed, and that's where you get your Bible from.
Whoa! You can't hold me to that, because that's not all I read. I believe in some of the Gospels that were not included in the Nicene gathering there. No,
the Book of Jasher is
a very, very legitimate book to me. The Book of the Maccabees mm-hmm. is a very legitimate book to me. The Book walked with God and he disappeared. I can't think of his name. Enoch, the Book of Enoch, is very real to me. So no, I'm not part of the 66 book crowd.
But, But you just selected a few of them. I mean, there's dozens of them. That,
like I said,
dozens of books that are you saying that you accept all of them?
I don't accept all of them. I accept a lot of them.
Hold on, Doc. It's just inconsistent then to say, well,
it's inconsistent to you, not to me.
Well, hear what I'm saying. To say, you know, well, you're not bound by just those 66 books, but then, okay, well, do you accept all the Gospels then?
No.
You know, that were written out, but I'm sure you don't. But then,
you know,
where are you using to pick and choose between you accepting and between you don't?
The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept.
You're saying the Bible, but the Bible that was constructed by these group of people.
Michigan man, I'm gonna shut you straight off here in 1 minute.
Because
you just making noise in the background.
Okay.
Okay, look. Nicaea brought what they thought was the best of the books to do what they intended to do. Don't forget that the bishops in those days had armies working for them. That's why the Holy See right now has a military. That's why they are its own city, its own country. Okay? Because of that thought of what they were. They were militaristic in thing because the pagans were militaristic in their actions. You have to understand. Whether he really did get changed over or not, or he just had an odd view of what Christianity should have been, the start of Catholicism was Constantine saying, boom, look, all of these holidays are the holidays we're going to recognize now. And they still named Easter as the time of the resurrection. Easter is sun goddess.
What part of Christianity doesn't come from so-called pagan? I mean,
a whole lot of it.
Okay.
A whole lot of it, Alex. Okay. I can't go into that because we have to go through Bible study. But when you come to town, I will absolutely sit down with you an hour or two and go through this stuff. Because I'm telling you, this is stuff people don't know, and they were raised in a particular thought. And then they just continue on. But they've been given a bunch of mess a lot of times. Not just Catholics, but Protestants too, because they don't know. Now, I ain't mad at them for not knowing because it ain't their fault. It's not their fault. But I was blessed enough to be able to have the mindset to dig and find things. My family dug in the Bible for years. Sometimes we'd go 2 and 3 days at a time, never leave the house.
That's the problem.
It might be the problem, but you know what? We know it. That's one thing we do know. We know that word. Michigan, hold on. You're on the line. You know that, too. You're not going nowhere. So, anyway, Michigan man, go ahead and say something. I have to come jack you up.
Yeah, man. I wanted to give you an award. Have you ever heard of the Manumission Code?
Yes, sir.
Of 1705?
Yes, sir. I've heard of it. I'm not totally familiar, but I know that is absolutely true. So go ahead.
Okay.
Not absolutely true, but it's a document, yes.
Yeah, let me read. This is what it was for. This law provided that any black could gain their freedom by, one, saving a white life, protecting a white's property, or inventing something from which a white could profit. I'm convinced that if you had been around in the 1700s, they'd have gave you two of these.
Well, I would have bought your freedom then, man. I would need somebody to hang out with.
They'd have gave you two of these, brother.
Now, that's funny.
I feel so sorry for you, man. But listen.
Well, you don't feel sorry for me because you know what? Let me tell you this.
Oh, boy.
When I wake up in the morning, Michigan man, and I look in the mirror, I say, you know what? you ain't perfect, but I like you.
Well,
okay?
That's good.
Well, that is good because you know what? Most people don't like themselves because they don't know themselves or who they are or whose they are. And I've got all those questions licked. Okay?
We need a modern day. I think the name of that movie was The Drop Squad.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, we need a modern day one, man. I'd personally come down that Ohio and get you and make sure you went through it twice. Yeah, you know,
ladies and gentlemen, you'd have to understand where he's coming from to really appreciate how funny this is.
Michigan man believes in
Pan-Africanism more so than anything, and not in any type of one type of God, but you know, sort of like a theoretical type of spirit or spirits that may rule and reign. And he thinks I'm absolutely out of my mind.
Yeah, you are. But I understand.
Well, oh, you're my man anyway. That's okay.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to. I heard you. I mean, the slave master, he really could, man, just leave you at the, if he had to run to the store or something, he could really leave you in charge of the house and the farm and everything, man. And it would be in perfect shape when he got back.
Let me tell you this, bro. That's I have to laugh at that. That's funny. Listen to me, man. I don't like the thought of being bound. I don't like that. I think that we should be free to do what we want to do. Not necessarily free to hurt others or to do, you know, bad things to people, but free in this country. If I want to be a farmer, I need to be able to be a farmer. If I want to be a race car driver, I should be able to be one. My point is this. We've gotten to a place in society where people are going to be telling us what we can and cannot be. And it's ridiculous.
Well,
it's totally ridiculous. And listen, the last thing, belief in Jesus Christ, real belief in Jesus Christ, not churchianity, I'm talking about being a Christian, period, really, it's going to cause you to be, in this time and day, persecuted. Because I've been persecuted for saying that I believe in this, that, or the other. I understand. Been there, done that. But at the same time, I have peace because I met that God. I don't always do the right thing and say the right thing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I met God. And when I did, it changed my life. It changed my life a lot. But the thing is after I'm starting to study and starting to find out who he is and why things are a certain way, and I start seeing this whole thing. I'm not a Republican because I believe Republicans are holy. It's just that they have certain things that I believe in. I believe in smaller government. I believe in self-determination and self-dependency than I do governmental dependency. So that's why I'm a Republican. But after that, they're another secular organization to me. They have nothing to do with my soul or what I believe. So when somebody, the GOP did this and you, what are you telling me for? I'm not the GOP. I agree with them on some things.
Here we go again.
Who, Jeff, what, where?
Jeff and the Bible, here we go again.
Wait a minute, Stanley. Wait a minute. You know what? Y'all messing me up today because I'm seeing all these new numbers coming up. And
Jeff and the Bible.
Hold on, Stanley. Go ahead, say your piece, Stanley.
Well, hey, let me finish for you.
Stanley, hold on. Michigan man got a point to make for.
Yeah. Well, I'm poking a little fun with Jeff. I certainly have, you know, absolutely no problem with any man's belief. I think he's way over the cliff. He just don't know it. But it's okay. Now, what I won't do is, and I hear Alex, you know, it's almost, you don't know which one is the fool when you arguing with a two black men arguing about the European Christian Bible. It's hard to tell which one is the fool.
Well, my point is, I will not argue the European Christian Bible at all.
Okay.
I don't hold that Bible. But the Bible that was written in Africa and North Africa and the Middle East, that's the one I believe in.
Well, wasn't no Bible written in Africa.
Oh yes, sir. The Pentateuch, the first five books of the Jewish Bible.
No.
You think that the original Jews were light skinned?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, they were. They were white.
No,
they were not white.
I could
prove it to
you.
Well, I can prove it
down a couple hours.
Black, in order to hold on to Christianity and to feel like he's still a part of being African, they love to run that game of. Oh,
have you all ever seen
the first Christians was African and the Bible was written in Africa? That is an absolute falsehood.
Oh boy, there we go.
Absolute falsehood.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something real quick. I just wanted to clarify. I was trying to get some understanding on the punishment from God. I'm not trying to argue about the Bible or anything. I just want to get some understanding on where your head is at. You know.
Well, your problem is that what you just said. I made a statement, and then Stanley, it's got to be your turn soon. That do you have an owner's manual to your to an appliance that you have? And the point was, I'm saying, if you don't follow that owner's manual's to a T, you're going to have some problems with your appliance. Well, what makes you think? What makes you think that it's any different with you, who was created by God? But I know you don't believe. If you don't believe in God, you don't believe you're created by
Him. No, not your God.
Whatever.
You believe in your God.
Whatever God created you,
okay.
He gave you instructions.
Okay.
Okay?
Right.
So now, if you don't follow those instructions, some things are going to start self-destructing.
Yeah.
So God doesn't have to send a plague upon America for America to suffer for what it's doing by killing its 1.3 million babies a year.
Yeah. See, that's what that's just the silliest stuff.
It's silly to you, but it's not to me, so I understand.
Silly.
Okay, Stanley, go ahead. Get me with the silliness, too. Go ahead, my friend.
No, the thing I always told you, and I've always told to religious people, you still can't prove your case.
Right.
I'm sorry. If we would take everything that you're doing and we would go to court of law would say you didn't prove anything. You didn't even prove God. You're saying God is good. I go to another Christian saying God is that. Another person saying no.
Oh, Stanley?
Go ahead.
That you have never gone to any Christian that has told you God is bad. Not one. Because if they said that, they're telling you that they're not a Christian. There's only going to be one spirit. There's only going to be one spirit of God. And we're going into this whole thing.
But the one spirit of God, you got to prove that God does exist. And you've never proven this. It's never been proven.
Hey, Jeff.
Well, yeah.
I can make Stanley leave you alone. You want me to?
No,
I
like Stanley.
I won't make him leave you alone about your God.
No. here's the thing. You can't, if I can't prove that God does exist, you cannot prove that he doesn't.
Jesse doesn't work that way.
Hey, Stanley. There's an African saying that you can leave a log in the water for a million years, and it will never become a crocodile. Now, the moral of that story is this, Stanley. You never argue with a man's belief or faith because it does not have to be based on anything factual.
True.
And he has a right to believe it, even if it's not. So, Stanley, that's where you that's wisdom. When you understand that religions that are faith-based and belief-based don't have to be factual, then you would know not to argue with a man about it. But it's clear you don't know that.
I know that.
to you.
Why would you argue with him?
Stanley just don't want me to use the excuse of the Bible for anything. But I understand,
exactly.
Stanley.
Thank you. Exactly.
Well, I can't help it, Stanley, because the Bible tells me what's going to happen, and it's always right. So I can't. Always. Every time is
right. Good grief, Jeff.
Unlisted caller, you are on the line with Stanley and Michigan Man, two ungodly men, but we love them anyway.
No, I'm not ungodly. I just don't believe in yours. That's all.
I'm just picking, bro. Unlisted caller, you call me. You're on air. Well, you hit your number one button, so I don't know where you're at. If you want to step in there, you can. Okay, we're going to leave that stuff alone, okay? Because we'll be on that all day.
What do you think about the thing that the general said when he testified, that he says that maybe the president had changed what he was supposed to say? It was a terrorist attack. It's not a terrorist attack.
No surprise to me. That's no surprise to me, because you have to understand, President Obama had a lot invested in those people acting right in Libya. But what he did not take into consideration is this. In radical Islam, they do not have to ever respect any agreement or any kind of niceties with people that they consider as, what's the word? But you're no good to them.
Infidels.
They don't have to respect you. They can lie to you. They can do whatever, and they guess what they did? They backstabbed President Obama, and President Obama was trying to hold on to his words already that Al-Qaeda's on the run and Bin Laden's dead. Well, that doesn't work in the real world, dog. This is not fairyland. This is the real world, and you have to handle your business in it, or else they're going to kick your butt. And that's what they just did. They kicked his butt. Now, he got reelected anyway because the news media ignored it. But this is inept leadership. This is stupid thinking about, not stupid. This is what it is. It's liberal thinking about how to handle your enemies in the Middle East. Because you don't believe.
He should have sent an army to attack them. He should have wanted you to be done.
He should have never allowed Gaddafi to be overthrown without having somebody to replace Gaddafi with. Gaddafi had control of his country. He should have never let Egypt get overthrown. He orchestrated it. He had his people on the ground over there. They orchestrated the overthrow of that government.
Yeah, but the people there decided that they were tired of the government they had.
So,
Look,
I'm tired of the government right now. I can't get no people to overthrow it. I have to wait till the election and try to vote him out again. Or whoever his successor is. You understand?
Well,
because what they're doing is destroying the United States. Now, we got some things that are going to happen that are going to make it look like he's doing a good job. And that is this oil boom through the shale and the gas and the natural gas boom. You're going to see that blow up here, and it's going to cause you to have to think. And you're going to say, ooh, his policies are working. But his policies aren't working. His policies can't work in the real world. But you can have, just like you did under President Clinton. President Clinton is the rock star because the economy blew up under him, even though it was in recession by the time he got out of office. Because the dot-coms had started falling away at that time.
But, Jeff, can you explain me this? How come when Democrat is the president, they get more job created than Republican?
Oh, that's true. That's never
true.
Never, ever. Look, Doc.
I've done the research.
Stanley, I'm going to wait till my man Pianchi gets on again.
Ask her.
Him. It's a him. It's Sorry, him. You've talked to Pionki before. Pionki sent me a graph one time, but I didn't get a chance to save it because he sent it to the Blog Talk queue, and I didn't get a chance to save it. But he sent me a graph about people being employed and how many. Up under Ronald Reagan, even though people didn't like Reagan, I didn't like Reagan at the time. But I'll say this. More millionaires were created. Oh, somebody's there. That's our people. All right, unlisted caller, you're on. Okay, that's our radio room person. They were there the other day, so maybe they're just listening. Okay, check it out. Once again, up under Ronald Reagan, people poured into the middle class and millionaires were made.
That listen
to what I'm telling you. Say that again.
I'm talking about who created the most jobs, the government, when it was a president Republican or when it was a president that was Democratic.
In how many years? You'd have to go back to that.
All of them.
The average goes with the Republicans all the time because the Republicans want free markets, and so that creates wealth, you understand? That's what you're not seeing. The Democrats want to squelch wealth. They put a foot on the neck of achievers all the time. They don't let you do anything. They want the government to be the answer for you, and so that's what they do.
Cut it out, Jeff.
What do you mean cut it out? Oh, that's the truth.
You have just as many Democratic entrepreneurs and millionaires as you do Republicans.
Wait a minute. We're not talking about Democratic people that belong to the Democrat Party that are businessmen. We're talking about a mindset of leadership inside of a party.
Oh, man.
Bill Clinton made that case when he did the speech in the Democratic convention. He said, if we take 52 years, Democrats are responsible for 18 million more jobs than Republicans.
It would be a lie, absolutely, and especially if he's counting his own administration. Because
It's not a lie.
Well, you ask me a question, Stanley. You want me to answer you?
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, listen, I said if he said it, it would be a lie because even under his own administration, the Republicans, don't forget Newt Gingrich and that contract with America that swept Republicans into leadership and office that they had not had for 40 years. They had no control for 40 years. Okay, so now here it is. Newt gets this done and they make Bill Clinton. Get a balanced budget. They forced him to. And not only that, he compromised on many of his liberal policies, and he didn't get to raise taxes till the last 2 years of his last term. And as soon as he did, that's when the Democrats took over again. That's when we went into recession. Just like the last 2 years of the Bush administration, we had a Democrat Congress, and guess what? We went into recession because of how they were running things. Bush, wait a minute. Let's smack Bush upside the head. He dropped the taxes, and then on top of that, he spent money like drunken sailor. So that's what. Well, that's why your jobs get created or not, Stanley. You understand?
But you're not answering the question. Let's take it. Okay, since 1961.
You're breaking up, Stan.
Since 1961, in 52 years, the Republican has held the House for 28 years. The Democrat voices. So in those 52 years, there's been approximately 66 million private sector jobs have been created. You know who created the most? Democrats.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. What's up, buddy?
Yes, they did. look, I'm telling you fact. The check, you can do a fact check if you don't believe me. But you're
that's what I'm getting ready
one.
To do, Stanley.
Go ahead.
I brought in the Calvary now.
Where's the Calvary?
I did.
Where's the Calvary?
I got the Calvary in with me now.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes, go ahead, Alex.
Hey, I want to chime in on what you were just talking about, because I don't, you know, you're saying that the country was already in recession before Clinton left office. I mean, that's technically true, but it's not for the reasons that you're saying. I mean, it had everything to do with the banks. I mean, It had to do with, I think it was the Graham Act, the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, whatever it was that allowed the commercial banks to merge with the investment bankers, and so then they had all this money from the depositors to use as speculation on the market that caused the dot-com bust, and amongst you know the failure of some other things. So
you know what,
really,
we're going to answer that.
A lot of this stuff is tied back to our monetary policy.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, but hold on, Alex.
Alex,
hold that, because we're going to go to the break. We'll be right back, and I'm bringing in the Calvary after this because you'll beat me up today. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back.
I'm Mark.
Hello.
Yes. Hello?
Yes. I can't believe Jeff is not saying that it's true. It's been referenced. It's been fact-checked. It's been proven that what I'm saying is true. It's like it's either you accept it or you don't. He wants facts. Let's go with facts. Republicans created 24 million jobs. Democrats created over 42 million jobs. So if the policy of the Republicans are the best, shouldn't it be the other way around?
Well, you could say that, but what's the long term effects of what they do is the question. I mean, just because they create some jobs, I mean, doesn't mean anything. Is most of the jobs that Democrats end up creating are low wage jobs anyway. Jobs that people can't live off of, and then they grow the size of government, and then eventually it just slows down the economy because it just creates a larger tax burden, or and the debt goes up even more. So it's hard to say what's really better. I mean, there's a bunch of ways you can just create jobs.
Yeah, I agree with you. The quality of the job, we would have to do a research on the quality of the job. But let's not act like Republicans are creating jobs. When I saw that stat, I was like, let me check it out. And I'm like, let me go to Jeff with this, because Republicans came up saying, we're the world who created jobs. We're the best thing that came from creating jobs. I'm like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You know, numbers is numbers. Numbers don't lie, you know. There's a difference between 24 million and 42 million. Numbers don't lie.
Yeah, I just think the picture is bigger than just jobs, though. You know, you have to look at the overall health of a country, of an economy. You know, how the inflation. You know, we can. There's a lot of, like, for instance, like the economic boom during Clinton's years. People, Democrats tout that as, oh, this is so good. But at the same time, during that period, I mean, how was that created? I mean, they incarcerated nearly a million African men, black men. So the prison industrial complex took off. The war on drugs took off. It totally destroyed so many families and communities, and we want to say that was a success. You know, so it created jobs like in law enforcement, which was from the government, not from free enterprise. It was because the government threw a bunch of money into the war on drugs and into the prison industrial complex. So, you know, it's just such a it's just not as simple to say, oh, well, we're better because we created more jobs. You know, in many ways, Democrats are worse than Republicans, in my opinion.
Okay. And at least I respect your part of seeing that. The only thing is, it's like when I hear Republicans responsible for creating jobs and they don't spend and they don't do anything wrong, I'm like, you spend like crazy. You spend crazy on wars. Republicans are so focused on war. You know, we should have never got to go to wars. Never.
Well, Democrats and they're the same, though. Democrats and Republicans are exactly the same. I mean,
they spend the same in war. You think Democrats? We think it's Democrat.
Yeah.
Democrats
are they actually, now if you look at how many countries are bombed, Democrats on average if you look at the last 20 years, Democrats have bombed more countries than Republicans. You know, like when Clinton was in office. Democrats may not full out invade and put boots on the ground, but they bomb more countries than Republicans. I mean, you can look at whatever numbers you want to look at, but you know, and to make your case. But if you ask me, they're the same. Obama's, you know, bombed Qatar, Yemen, Somalia, Pakistan. I mean, they have drones over there every day bombing the living daylights out of those people in Pakistan. You have people with
nervous disorders. How do we go to 16 trillion of debt?
Let me say something to Stanley. And the reason that, now this is the fundamental reason why they are the same, because what drives both parties are interest groups. And the interest groups, if you look at them, the interest groups are the same. The same type of interest groups you have in the Republican Party, you have those same type of interest groups in the Democratic Party. They just may be different organizations. So fundamentally, that's why you do get the same thing out of both of them. Now, that's a fact. The interest groups are the same. They're not different.
Okay. I agree with you, but if it's the same, how come we came to 16 trillion of debt? You can't put Obama responsible for all that debt. So
I don't. Those are just talking points when people say Obama, you know, is responsible for all that debt. That's
for all that debt.
Yeah.
So is he responsible for all that debt, or is it he's responsible for some part of the money? But the Republicans have to look at themselves and say, "Yeah, we're responsible for that part."
You know, another thing, and this is where I think all of the politicians get themselves in trouble, is that, and they both do it. One, when an economy is bad, you know, they blame the party that's in. When an economy is good, they blame the party that's in. But, you know, if you go and do the research, the economy has the actual president and his specific policies have very little to do with the total economy. There's all type of factors that's in there.
Yep,
and
that's true. That's true.
International factors that affect the economy, which have nothing to do with the little poop butt president. I mean, it's almost like a big Titanic ship. The president, the time it takes to turn a big old ship like that around, right? And so that's where politicians get themselves in place, because as soon as they start creating jobs, they say, yeah, we did that, you see. But they didn't, and they know they did.
So why Republicans are being honest about it? This is what the government is responsibility, and let's be honest, because I don't think Obama would spend $16 trillion. He didn't spend the $16 trillion.
Nobody spent $5
trillion. Right. So.
Okay. How did he spend $5 trillion? I still don't believe that he spent $5 trillion. You're telling me 8 years, the two wars that we got, Obama, the Indian war, by the way, except Gavin, that he spent the fucking George Bush did on two wars? Just that.
Yeah, because a war only costs a couple hundred, well, only, but, you know, a couple hundred billion a year. But Obama was, you need to research all the things Obama is doing.
Obama didn't do it.
By numbers. Show me 5.7. Here's what he did, Sally D. And the total comes to 5.7. Then
Family, we got to get you a new phone. South Carolina got a cheap Bluetooth. You got a bad phone. I don't understand it. You sound
you're
like you're coming in a tunnel.
No was coming on.
Oh, I got a Trump phone. I know it's.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Michigan, what do you mean you got to hang up because I'm here?
Oh, I'm
what's
sorry.
Up with
I know
that?
You heard that.
You know, I wear a headset. You never know when I'm going to show up. It's called Tracy and Friends. I'm supposed to be here.
Okay.
She's the CEO of her business, the radio.
I got to make sure that you guys aren't, you know, I heard the other day when I was off, you guys were talking about condom rentals. Something on that order.
Condom rentals?
Hey,
condom insurance.
Know.
Getting insurance
condom
on
insurance.
Your condoms.
Condom insurance. Oh, wow.
Condom
something.
Insurance. What
am I in? I wasn't here.
Yeah, that's what the condom
was,
you can insure. You can sue. The condom company.
What'd you say, Alex?
It was no-fault rubber insurance.
See there? That's what I'm saying. I was gone for a day. I got a phone call saying, you need to check on Jeff. That's all they said. I said, what do you mean? Because they said Jeff is selling, you know, he don't have a Series 7. He's selling insurance now. And I'm like, what do you mean he's selling insurance? We sell advertising here. Like, no, Jeff is selling insurance. I'm like, what are you talking about, Jeff is selling? He's selling condom insurance. I only left for a day.
Wow.
I don't even know what I was doing on that day. My days are colliding.
Tracy, can you get somebody, an expert, that could explain the $5.7 trillion of the government that President Obama is responsible? Because I don't understand that number.
Why don't you understand that number?
I don't understand. How did he spend $5.7 trillion?
Because remember, when he came in, he took ownership of the Afghanistan war. That's one. One, and then on top of that, remember there was $1 trillion stimulus package that didn't stimulate the package.
And that's not true.
What did it stimulate?
If you go now, there's a couple of books that go into great detail. I forget the one. They go into great detail of all the specific spending of the stimulus, and it is the facts are there. What jobs were created in this and that. So. You know,
sweetie,
the talking point about the stimulus didn't work.
Sweetie,
that's crazy.
Sweetie, the stimulus didn't work because it didn't spur the economy. People are working, but they're still working under. They're underemployed.
What?
I mean, the numbers and everyone right now, from everything that I'm reading, most of your corporations are either what they call laying off. They are reorganizing,
or moving to China,
or they're standing still because they're very, very concerned about what's coming down the pipe.
But you're making
the
stimulus be more than what it was supposed to be.
Well, you have to realize how they rate the economy, how they judge whether it's being successful. It has to do with the gross domestic product.
And right now we're not spending the money because we're not making the money. And inflation, even though we're not counting it because we don't put oil and fuel and food inside of our inflation. Right now, we are. When you go to a grocery store and spend $75 and only come up with a half a bag of groceries and nothing's in the bag,
But what you're doing is, see, that's what talking points do. You'll say the stimulus didn't work, but then you'll say because your groceries you're paying $2 more for a gallon of milk, so the stimulus package didn't work.
You missed the point. The people the people that are working are underemployed. You can love him spending money if you want to. What I'm saying is you might have a job, but you're not making the money that you used to make. And so everything is going up, nothing's coming down, and you're getting a job, but you're still not making any money.
Well, but see, I would agree with that, but why are you trying to make the stimulus do more than what it was just supposed to do at that time?
It wasn't supposed to just give you a job washing windows at the car wash and or at the gas station. It was supposed to spur the economy so that you would have a gross national product.
Yeah. How long is what? You know what I'm saying?
It never did.
What'd
you say, Alex?
All it did is put money, huge sums of money, in the bankers' pockets. That's all it did.
That's all it did.
Well, but then that's what is that? Okay, Alex. Well, then why is that what stimulus is supposed to do? Because all credit is doing. Wait a minute. I asked Alex, is that what stimulus is supposed to do? Because every president does it.
But still,
well,
that's supposed to be done.
But they call it economic stimulus. It's supposed to stimulate the economy, which it didn't do. You know,
well,
I mean,
you know, the last time the economy was stimulated by the government is when Bush gave us those tax rebates. Everybody got a $600 tax, put it in the hands of the American people and not in the hands of the rich bankers. That's the last time.
Right.
And we actually had, I'm thinking, over a 0.5% growth in the GNP the next quarter after that happened.
But my question is, if you wanted to stimulate the growth, I don't know why they still didn't give the money to the taxpayers.
To the people who need it.
We would have solved a lot of problems if we had cut some checks to the people that have been paying all this time.
Exactly.
But Tracy, if we would have done that, then the bank, wouldn't not the bank been bankrupt and we wouldn't have all those banks except Lehman would have been out, the other banks would have been out also if it wasn't for the stimulus?
No, that's not true. See, the reason why these banks were claiming that they were going to be bankrupt was because they claimed that because these people couldn't pay their mortgages on their houses, correct? Right? You remember that? So if you actually gave the people, you put the money in the hands of the people, like Bush did, they could have made the house payment.
They would, and as a matter of fact, they would have paid cash for cars.
Exactly.
They would not have stayed rich long. And they would have stimulated the economy, don't you think?
I know. I mean, you can't argue that point. If you look when Bush gave us that $600 back per person per taxpayer, what happened to the economy?
And then you got to pay taxes on it too. Don't forget that.
Yeah, and paying taxes is not a bad thing.
It is a bad thing.
I mean, not if you enjoy, you know, the level of comfort that you have, but the military gives us and everything else. I have no problem paying taxes.
No, but listen to what I'm saying. I get unemployment, but I got to pay taxes on unemployment.
Yes.
I get a stimulus, and I got to pay taxes on that too.
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Well, that's all part of the economy. Don't you think your government spending, it helps the government too?
It doesn't help me. Why do I have to pay taxes on it?
It's just because you do.
I don't want to pay taxes on it.
You don't want to have a military.
How
are
you
going to?
How
you
going
to have nice roads to ride on? You know.
You didn't hold on. You didn't build those.
Of course, I didn't build them.
Okay.
But my tax dollars did.
Listen, I got to take a break. Yeah, I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSFM.
So the problem you have with the stimulus is that you were mad that he took the money and gave it to the bank. So you would have liked that he took the stimulus and gave it to the people and forget about the banks and everything, let them crawl, A&G, all those companies, let them go bankrupt or gone, and everything would have been better?
I can't think of the guy who wrote that book, man. He'd be on MSNBC. He wrote a detailed book about every piece of the Obama stimulus and where it went. And
I know you're talking about.
Okay,
yeah.
When you every company that got some money, you know who they hired. I mean, it's very detailed. And so when you look, that's what I'm looking at. I'm answering the question from that perspective. So unless those are lies, I mean. The money did get spread around. Now, I don't know exactly what it was supposed to do in its totality, but it seemed like it worked for whatever it was supposed to do. But I don't know.
So the thing that they said too big to fail, you don't agree with that. You agree that they should have failed and we would have had it better. Because that's the thing. You truly believe that all those banks and all those companies would have been gone, our economy would have been better?
Yes, it would have been. Let them fail. Yep.
Yeah.
Because when Lehman was gone and bankrupt, it affected the whole wide world. And trust me, you felt it.
No.
So take out Lehman, take out the Bank of America. You didn't feel it. A lot of people did.
Man, that's one thing. They ran so much game on Obama and with that one, giving them bailouts to them banks, that the sky was going to fall in and all that. That's a bunch of crap, man. And look what they did, man. They turned right around and when he did all of that for them and stopped lending money.
Yeah, and then they spend it on themselves.
Yep.
That's why I disagree.
I mean,
that's what I got. You know?
Stanley, do you know? I mean, are you familiar with the term moral hazard in terms of government?
No. What do you mean?
Because the thing, a lot of this could be better understood if you understand the concept or the idea of moral hazard, where essentially. What happens anytime the government gets involved in anything inside the private sector, it creates a moral hazard because the government guarantees any kind of activity, like look at the student loans. So as soon as the government got involved in that, then college tuition just skyrocketed. It went up, it just started going up because now it can set tuition to whatever the government was going to guarantee. So because the government was going to give the students the loans, and it was just a direct transfer into the coffers of the universities. So and these colleges and these technical schools that just started popping up. But these schools just start popping up out of nowhere. This is the moral hazard is when the government gets involved, it removes the natural consequences of certain behavior that would exist if they were not involved otherwise. And so and this is what happens when you have these kind of things with bailouts, and because when you get too big to fail, if they know that they're too big to fail with these banks, then that's the moral hazard is introduced, where now they don't care because they know that they can mismanage their money, lose all the money. Hell, all the executives can take it home and take it home with them, or put it in a foreign bank account or whatever. And if the company fails, the government's going to bail them out, and they already know that. So they're going to act differently than if there were natural consequences. If there were natural consequences where we are going to go under, and we're going to have to file bankruptcy, or we're not going to be able to do business anymore, or whatever, they would behave completely differently in the marketplace. And so,
but the problem is what you're talking about is those people that invested those money, they didn't know everything that you're saying about those banks investing on bad mortgages.
No, they didn't.
But let me say this, man. Now, with this is the only thing that when people say the government, like it's something other than people, right? Organized people. That's all the government is. Okay. Now, I don't agree that it's a moral hazard when government gets involved, more so than how they get involved and why they get involved. It's more about how and why, because if you look at
I don't agree with that. But
okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's just look at the history of the. If you look at the history of how the government has grown.
Let me pull this up. Hold on, this is God. I gotta throw this into the mix because this has really been a bad week for me. They told me Elmo was gay. I'm serious. They messed up. I mean, that was just too much information about Elmo. How can I ever see Elmo again? Elmo did not have a sex. Elmo was Elmo. He was a little red. Elmo. And then now they're telling me we're not going to have Hostess Ho-Ho and Twinkies because they're going to sell off the assets.
Probably get them. Well, they'll be back.
Somebody
will.
But it
won't be the
same.
Yes, it will. Somebody will buy that.
Yeah, they'll be made in China.
But it won't be the same.
Yeah. Yes,
it won't be Hostess Ho-Ho.
Yeah. It'll be the same product.
It ain't the same.
Well, that's what it means to liquidate. They're going to sell everything, including their intellectual property, which is, how to make a Twinkie. They'll sell that recipe as well. And somebody else would be making it. But now the wages are going to be even lower. I mean, it's crazy. Just the level of entitlement that Americans have, it's staggering to me. They went on strike for an 8% pay cut, but now they're not going to have a job at all. And it's going to go someplace else.
That's just messed up. And so, what did they stimulate, except for an unemployment line? something on my Facebook page, and I need to pull it up. But it talks about the.
Hey Trace, can I talk over real quick when you said about Elmo being gay? What's that song by? What was it, Club Nouveau? Look at all these rumors. Wasn't that Club Nouveau?
Yeah.
I always thought Elmo was gay. So.
Why did you? Elmo had no sex.
Yeah, I always thought that. That was a rumor.
No one ever. I mean, people watched Elmo, and Elmo was innocent. Elmo had no gender. Elmo was just cool.
What's really weird and disturbing to me is that if you look at the target age of Elmo's watchers, what do they know about sex and gender?
They do now.
I mean, seriously, what do they know about sex?
And
why do we have to force upon them an issue at that age?
They didn't force it on them. Madam got sued for somebody accused him of pedophilia. And then he came back and retracted what he said, but he already put it out there that now Elmo's got a sex. Elmo was genderless. He was neuter. He was in the middle.
What would a target listener for Elmo know about it?
They know it all now. They probably educate you.
That had been a rumor in the black community, though. So.
What'd you say?
That was always a rumor in the black community.
What?
That Elmo was gay.
Elmo was black and gay. Why are you playing?
So Elmo was on the down low?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, now I feel weird about showing my son this because Elmo taught my son how to be potty trained. My oldest one. We bought the Elmo potty time video. Shows him how to use the bathroom. And now, I feel weird about showing it to my youngest boy now because he. I got to.
Don't let him go in the bathroom with Elmo by himself.
You know what? You guys are so sick in the head.
It's disturbing. It really is.
That's what I'm saying. That's the kind of week I've had this week.
Yeah.
They jacked up Elmo. How do you mess up Elmo at Christmas time?
I don't know.
And you talk about the Girls National Front. They messed up Christmas sales. Elmo was good for another billion.
For our economy?
Yes.
Maybe half a billion.
Don't you remember a couple years ago, the Christmas, when they stood outside in the cold
trying to get the
Tickle Me Elmo?
Yeah, I remember that.
Why would you do that anyhow? But
now we know why Elmo wanted to be tickled.
So, Tracy, I was asking Alex, so I asked you. Now, just in looking at the history of the United States government and how it has grown and became more complicated and whatever you want to call it, too big, but... At what point would you say that the government has reached this maturity and it needs to stop here? Because throughout history, you see where the government intervened in places where you say, okay, they needed to intervene. So when did the government go from good to bad? What year?
It happened with the Great Society.
I'd say right after the Great Depression.
No, it happened with the Great Society.
Okay, what year was those?
So I'd say 1960, during the 60s.
No, I'd say before that. I'd say probably in 36, 37. It's
36?
Hold on. What did you go eat?
60. Raw onions.
I know, because you came in here smelling like an onion pat.
I smell good.
1 year?
Turn up one.
Okay, you guys know we're live radio, right? Just as long as you guys know that we don't fake it. I came in the door and Jeff said, "You take over. I'll be right back. I got to get something in my mouth. I got to get something to drink. They ain't got no Coke. They ain't got no this." He come back in here smelling like an onion patch.
That might be garlic for the werewolf.
He went down to Charlie Staples, had a whole meal.
I mean, here, you want my mint? I put my fingers on it, but you need it. Drink that. Eat that. Put that.
Where your hands
in? It ain't been nowhere. You eat that. You eat that.
Ain't tickling Elmo.
No, don't tickle. Elmo don't tickle no more.
Man, it's got me eating a mint.
Chef Kimmel blew the room up with onions.
Hey, onions are good for you. Shut up.
You ain't supposed to. They're not good when you smell them.
Yeah, all right.
Like onions.
You know what? I love to smell onions.
What?
It tastes like you've been tickling Elmo. I ain't eating this.
I'm hungry. I think a hot dog with onions on it sounds good.
Oh,
right,
man,
now.
I love it.
I like hot dogs.
I got to ride in the car by myself. I ain't allowed to order a hot dog with onions.
You know why? I know why. Tell your wife I understand, because you're coming smelling like a patch of onions. Eat that mint. Hi, guys. I ain't tickled.
I don't know. You never know about people these days.
Look at Elmo. I'm sorry.
I drew the line at Barney. Now. You know that.
I can't stand Barney.
Elmo world.
Barney and what's the blue or something Teletubby?
Purple. I don't do the Teletubbies.
I don't do the Teletubbies anymore.
I never did the Teletubbies. I never liked them.
My daughter loved Elmo. I mean, loved the
Teletubbies?
No. Barney.
I love Barney. I love you. You love me. Oh, yeah. Barney's
you know
cool.
What? Come to think of it, Mr. Rogers looks a little gay, too.
He was gay.
No, what? Mr. Rogers wasn't gay. No. Oh, it's
won't
no.
Won't he be my neighbor?
No, don't mess.
You have to remember.
No, he wore a sweater.
Do he got any kids?
No.
I always wondered where his wife was.
Yeah.
Dude, you have to listen. Don't be messing up childhood. Y'all done jacked up Big Bird. Y'all done exposed Elmo.
What happened to Mr. Green Jeans?
He wasn't gay.
Well, I know he wasn't. He was a man.
Well, I think that Captain Kangaroo came out closet.
Kangaroo always worried me there.
That's what's wrong with America today.
Yeah.
They raised all of us with Looney Tunes.
Hmm. What happened to them? Oh, I never did.
You never signed in?
Yeah, no.
Okay, I'm going back to serious stuff. Jeff let me sit down, and he came back here smelling like onions, and I'm sorry. I was going to just duck my head in the door, wave to the people, say thank you for everyone who has dropped off donations so that I can get out of here and go to New Jersey and support some people. And I do appreciate it because I've got more than a little bit. You have no idea the overwhelming response that we've gotten from people. It's really been a great success. And I know that the Salvation Army will be very, very pleased when I pull in there tonight.
I know that's right.
Because I got a trailer on the back of my SUV, and y'all know I've never driven a trailer before, right?
You know what it got me was that I was so glad to hear Captain's voice the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss Captain.
Yeah, he was a cool guy. He did a lot. He did a lot.
People around him miss him too because his programs were
absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can go ahead 629 since you got local call. Hi, Steve.
Hi, just calling to make a comment.
Yes, sir.
Hey, in regards to Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Rogers, I'm not sure, but I think one or both of those were actually Special Forces guys.
Are you serious?
Special Forces.
I am serious. Dead serious.
Wow. No, that's a shocker. That's nice to know.
Really?
Yeah.
Captain Kangaroo, I'm almost positive, was Special Forces, if I remember right. I don't know if Navy SEAL or Green Beret or whatever, but I'm thinking one or both of them were actually Special Forces. So I think you can look it up on the Internet, but it's been quite a few years since I've heard that, so I'm not not sure which one it was and which force it was, which Special Force they were in. But
I also heard a story about another rather famous person who at the Battle of Tarawa was, driving those boats into the shore. And he obeyed a direct order and pulled his boat in front of the line of fire to protect many of the soldiers that had to wade ashore because they got the tides all wrong. And the driver of that boat turned out to be Eddie Albert.
Huh?
Yeah.
It says that Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Rogers were members of the United States Special Forces and was a member of other services in the United States community. Captain Kangaroo, whose real name was Robert James Kinshon, who did serve in World War II as a member of the United States Marine Corps.
Man, could you imagine Mr. Rogers and the Special Forces?
No.
That's
Was
yeah.
Mr. Rogers in
don't
the
ask,
Special
don't,
Forces?
Yes.
Yes, he was. That's amazing.
Don't tell.
Sailor.
No, I mean. Hey, listen. Anybody that's a special in the Special Forces, I don't care if they're straight, gay, or like.
Oh,
we respect them.
Small animals. They earn my respect.
We respect them.
I don't have a problem respecting anybody.
What'd you say, local call?
I won't say it.
But I had no idea. All I know is don't be messing up Mr. Robinson's neighborhood, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Eddie had some problems now.
I grew up watching both of them, so I just thought, it really surprised me when I heard that, and it's like, nah, that can't be true, but a long time, like I said, since I heard it, but I just wanted to defend their honor, I guess, that was all, or at least set the record straight. So.
Right. Well, Captain Kangaroo, I can see him. He looks like a military man, know what I mean? But Mr. Rogers, I would have never pictured him. He always looked like frail and old and...
Yeah.
And, he was always putting on a sweater, and I could never... he never had a khaki sweater. He never had a camo sweater,
Okay, now hold on. It says that he was serving, that was Captain Kangaroo was a part of Special Forces, but Mr. Rogers never served in the United States military.
Okay. Well, see, like I said, I knew it was one or both. I couldn't remember for sure, but...
What did he serve in?
I just said, hold on. No, he didn't serve.
No, it wasn't Mr. Rogers.
But Captain Kangaroo did.
Yeah.
But what about Mr. Green Jeans?
He had to be military. he just looked like
probably
he was going to kill.
Buddy.
Yeah.
It worked. You know what's really funny? We grew up on these guys, and we're talking about them now. And I look back at Romper Room and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Have you looked at what our kids watch today?
It's crap. Pardon my French, but it's crap.
Mm-hmm.
What they put on TV today for kids.
Have you seen what I mean? I love Tom and Jerry, and as violent as Roadrunner and Coyote was.
Tom and Jerry were violent. What do you mean?
That is true.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, but that's a whole different. There was no underlying, messages in the things. I mean, they were, in a sense, they were adult cartoons with adult humor, and I don't mean that in a bad way, obviously, but. Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck, those were my cartoons. Those are the ones that I grew up loving. The crap they have on now, it's like...
What happened to innocence and cartooning and when you could have fun and laugh and enjoy yourself and your parents didn't have to monitor your cartoons? Because if you watch Boondocks and Dolomite, it'll make a grown man blush.
Yeah.
Dolomite is a cartoon?
Dolomite is a cartoon.
My God.
Well, and it's a bad cartoon.
I was going to say, what could it be anything else but?
Well, even if you look at the primetime cartoons like Bart Simpson,
That's what I'm saying. Ren and Stimpy, is it Ren and Stimpy? Or?
Yeah,
that
stuff is pretty.
Family Guy.
Yeah.
They have Final Guy warning on.
Right, and they say they target adults with that, but, come on, get serious.
That's filthy.
Hold on. They target adults with that, but they don't want you to have a Camel and a pack of cigarettes.
Exactly.
I just thought I'd throw that out there. I mean, the number is 347-945-5229. It is open mic. I just had to bring it up because Elmo did get crushed this week.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to know. I mean, think about this. They got mad because there was a character of a camel on a cigarette pack, and they said that was making kids smoke. But you can think that Family Guy is not going to make a kid watch.
Right.
Oh, you're right.
I thought it was crazy when they came after Slash from Guns N' Roses because he was advertising for promoting a vodka, Black Death vodka. They said they were trying to get kids to drink vodka.
Right.
I mean, come on, what kid do you know that could take a shot of vodka?
Have you met the kids of 2010, 2012?
Well, they see how messed up us adults are, and they figured they better start drinking now. look how the vote turned out. They say, give me a shot.
Actually, they voted for him. You got to realize you can vote now by going the new campaign. The new campaign process now is no longer you do debates. How you want to get elected is you go on late night television and early morning talk shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you blame Bush for everything. That's what I would do.
Tell me something.
Yeah.
How did somebody win? How did he win with 120% of the vote of a precinct? That you can't have 120%
of
the
vote. Well, come on. It's Democrats there.
You know what?
It's vote early and vote often.
Did you guys see how light I made it? Jeff, how did you get back to that?
You just said, what did you just say that made me ask about the vote?
I said to people, if you want to get elected, you got to go on late night or early morning talk show. Next thing I know, you come with 100. You know how you get to 110 out of 100%.
Look, I can't take it light. I don't know how to take it light, Seth. I laugh. At Michigan, man, all the time. So, That's my cat right there.
Listen, I got to throw this, since you want to go deep. Papa John's. It says, if our business is successful and achieves excessive profits, we're under no obligation to share that with your workers.
Right.
Is that true?
That's absolutely
local
true.
Local call, what do you think?
You
guys
know,
on the air?
It depends. You know, actually, if me as a business owner, I feel that if I have excessive profits and I want to keep my employees happy, I would definitely institute a profit-sharing program. I mean, am I obligated to? No. But, I mean, if I was one of his employees, I'd quit because of that statement.
That's what a lot of people said, but can I ask you this?
Mm-hmm.
And local calls, I want you to weigh in on it also, and guys who are inside the queue, Alex and Chicago. My question is, I'm not obligated, but I may because of respect.
Good business, right.
But I mean, but if I'm working, if I have an entry level job, I don't owe you my profit sharing because you work there. Because every week when you get a check, that I've already paid you for what you've done.
Right, you sold your labor for whatever the amount.
Absolutely, we negotiated whatever it is.
Yes.
So I've already paid you. So I don't owe you my profit because you work for me.
No, in fact, I'm in business to make a profit. So no, I don't owe it to you. But
that's what's wrong with our society. It's that proverb about the guy who pays the wage earners early in the morning in order to come pick his grapevine,
right?
And throughout the day, just calling laborers back in, and he pays them all the same thing at the end of the day. You know, that's his money. He can do with what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people these days it's like, you know, you got to give me more. You know, I've worked, but I deserve more than this.
Listen.
This day and age, man, I'm grateful to have a job.
Right. And you got to realize, greed is a double-edged sword. As much as, you know, it's a bad word and it's become a bad word, it's actually a great thing. Because if it wasn't for greed, there wouldn't be people like Henry Ford and people that, like, what's his name, Bill Gates, that literally created the middle class.
But that's not greed.
Yeah, that's not greed. I don't think that's greed.
If you read Henry...
Yeah, I think it's greed when you take that money and you keep it for yourself. But if you're using it for the betterment of society, for research, you know, I mean, really, the Bill Gates, I think, maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You know, they're giving some of their billions of dollars of wealth away. You know, and I mean, granted, what is you as an individual going to do with $1 billion in your lifetime? I don't think you can spend that much.
You can't spend it, but I look at today. And the overwhelming support that I received from the Mahoning Valley in collecting food, you know, non-perishable food items for the storms of Hurricane Sandy is overwhelming. So was that not because of the excess and or the compassion that they have? And it's okay to have compassion, but if I don't have anything, I can't give anything.
Exactly.
You can give your time.
Yeah, but you can't give your time if you don't have anything, because then I don't have the wherewithal to do it. So, or the motivation.
You can always pray too.
Hey, Tracy.
Alex, go ahead.
I want to chime in on that with the labor thing. I mean, I have probably a little different perspective because of my line of work, but I think that if you're paid for a job, like to do some tasks or whatever that is, then and there's already like an implemented process for the, you know, some business system, whatever, and you're just doing it, then yeah, you're paid for your time and just, you know, take your pay, your fair pay, and shut up. You know, you don't have any right to the profits of the company. However, I do think that there needs to be a change in the country's laws for intellectual property, because what I do think is a little bit shady, because I see it all the time. I see people who are like highly educated or very talented, and they may have PhDs, whatever, and companies, they lock them away in their labs and they slave away, and they pay them a wage, but then, you know, that company can then turn around and using that property, that intellectual property, go and make millions or billions.
It happens all the time. In fact, I was at General Motors working at General Motors, and I found out that, you know, that clear white plastic that they put on cars or not, right. a magnetic strip. That was developed
right.
here in Youngstown, and the gentleman that developed it got paid $10,000 by General Motors for that idea, and General Motors
mm-hmm.
turned around and made millions off of it.
But again,
so, I mean,
don't you sign that away with your contract?
Yes, you do. By
right.
working there, but I do think that's intellectual property.
I call that the buyer beware kind of thing. I mean, in this case, it's not a buyer. He's a guy selling an idea, an intellectual property. But I mean, if you're going to do that, you got to be aware of you know, what you're giving away and what your potential profits might have been. Now, granted, maybe you don't have the market to get it out there, so you have to go through General Motors to do it. But in the same time, they're still selling your intellectual property. So before you sign that dotted line, you better be sure you want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've got no problem with General Motors making money off of an idea that was turned in at General Motors. But I think just to give the person that turned it in a $10,000 bonus and then take taxes out of it, I think that's rotten. I think they should share in that intellectual property because
exactly.
neither one of them
exactly.
would have been able to develop them on their own.
Right. And that's my point.
I agree with you. It would have been nice if they would have done that as a company. I don't think they're required to.
No, they're not.
But it would have been nice if they would have.
Right.
Right. And that's where I think the when it comes to what's considered property, I think that needs to change a little bit because our laws are still kind of in even our way our schools are set up and everything is still in an age like 100 years old, like the old industrial age. And the laws haven't really caught up to the intellectual property now because ideas are just as powerful as money now, and it, in some ways more powerful. And so I don't think that we've quite caught up to that, you know, just how powerful ideas are, just ideas and concepts are, because they're worth, you know, billions potentially. And I'm not saying that somebody that like a guy like me, like the engineer that develops something should take the profits, but I think that there should be some measure of sharing that, you know, that intellectual property, though, for, you know, going forward and with how business, because business is different today than it was, you know, years back, and it's going to continue to change, and we're going to continue to see this as a problem of intellectual property, because businesses are spending millions, tens of millions of dollars just on intellectual property alone now, because it's becoming a growing concern about, you know. So I think the laws need to change in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree.
Yeah, I think
I
that
agree.
Would be, and I also think that'd be good for the economy overall, because just imagine if you apply yourself and you're working for a company and you say, gee, there's a chance here if I apply myself and come up with an idea that benefits not only the company but society.
Yep.
The opportunities
exactly.
are there to make more money.
First of all, many people that are in that position do have contracts that say that.
That they're not allowed
that
they develop for the company.
Well, no,
for
the company. That they will get a certain amount
no,
of that
but
ownership.
See, they don't get your ownership. They give you a check.
They give you the maximum bonus
at GM, I think, is $10,000.
Yeah, I mean they give you a check.
I mean that's.
But
that's
I'm saying, but both
though,
your, but even in your pharmaceutical companies, we signed a contract when we went to work for them, that anything that we actually came up with, they owned.
Right.
Yeah, that's how it works.
And that's what most companies
do. So there's no incentive
to
come up
that's
with
that. That's not a copyright. No, that's incentive. The copyright law works that way too.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, for music. So if I work for such and such writers, I may write the baddest song in the world, but I don't own the song.
It's published. The publisher owns it,
right.
And then the performer gets some of the money,
right.
And you get some of it.
You get some.
It depends
on
your contract.
No, it depends
on
your contract.
Right.
You get paid some of it if you said, look,
but
if I write the song, I want X mm-hmm. amount of percentage.
But you know, I found out the other day, even when you write a book, when you get published by a publishing house, you don't own the rights of your book.
You don't own the publishing rights, no.
No, when you sign a record contract, you don't own the rights to the music either.
Speaking of intellectual rights, though, I saw something on the news here, maybe a month or so ago anyway, but they're talking about maybe not being able to resell your DVDs and videos and music in a garage sale because of the intellectual rights of the property. You know, the
good joke.
I don't know what you want to call it. the rights, you know, the rights of the publisher, or, you know, the maker of the DVD or the person that wrote the movie. You know, they get to keep those rights, and so it's becoming a thing where maybe you can't sell a DVD because that's infringing on their profitability.
That's because they're grasping at straws because they're losing their shirt.
Yeah. Well, yeah. How many times have you heard them raiding flea markets to get these bootleg copies coming over from China?
It doesn't have to come from China anymore. I mean, when you really look at what goes on the internet,
mm-hmm.
you can rip almost anything that's on the internet off.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Jeff, did you say that out loud?
No, I didn't say that out
okay.
loud.
That wasn't Jeff. That was
That was Mr.
One of the shadow people.
We haven't had them around in a while.
That was Mr. Shadow.
That's because Ben's here. The shadow people only show when Ben's here.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, guys, I gotta go. So I'm gonna take a break in when I come back. I'm gonna let Jeff and Ben, hopefully hold down the fort.
Oh God.
Hopefully.
Have a safe trip. Get us some prices on beachfront property.
Right.
Not a problem. Not a problem. I'm quite sure you can get it for $1 a night right now.
But
I'm going to get out of here because I'm going to be at headquarters. So if anybody wants to come to headquarters and help me out, because I've got to load all this stuff up inside of a U-Haul
mm-hmm.
at 641 Boardman Campbell Road. I'm going to start doing that right in about 30 minutes. As I go pick up this U-Haul truck.
Or if you want to bring a last-minute donation.
Yes. Come down to headquarters. I'm not going anywhere.
You know,
I'm not stopping anywhere else to pick up a thing.
Even if it's a gas card, because you're going to need gas.
Yeah, I need gas. I got to get gas there. And they tell me it's going to cost me more in gas because I've got a trailer.
Right.
And the trailers, I'm going to haul some more.
But I also think the trailer, you can leave there. You don't have to bring it back.
No. It costs an extra $200 to
leave
it there.
Wow.
So I got to come back free. Wow. Yes. Don't you get jealous, Jeff.
I'm jealous. I'm about to snap that.
Don't do that. Listen, I'll be right back. I'm going to leave you guys in the queue. You guys go for what you know. I'll be right back.
By the way, what's the premium on that?
I don't know. But all our callers is dropping off. But 407, you stayed in there. That's Alex, I do believe. You hit me with a new number, man. You can't be doing that. I don't know who you are when I'm picking you up.
Oh, yeah, I like to keep you on your toes, man.
You got me, too. You got me there. You a Michigan man calling in. Well, you're always the same, but calling in here with that. But, no, interesting things that we've been talking about. One day I'd like to, when there's nothing else to do and some of this stuff dies down, if it ever does.
Well, I one thing that's really been bothering me, you remember 6 months ago, or maybe it wasn't 6 months ago, maybe five, in June, I said what was going to happen in the Middle East.
Yes.
You know?
We doubt about it.
And I mean, it's happening a little bit sooner than what I thought. I thought they would neutralize Jordan first.
No. This is the thing. They had to take advantage of the unrest in Syria to create this, what's going on there now.
Right.
And that's what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
They have to do this. And if they're ever going to overthrow Israel, but I'm going to just tell you, I don't believe you're going to see the overthrow of Israel.
It's impossible.
I mean, if let's put it like this. If it wasn't for the supernatural protection of Israel,
that's why it's impossible.
It would be impossible.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, it would be very.
I wouldn't be surprised if what's the name of their intelligence, Mossad or something like that? I forget the name of their intelligence.
Mossad. Yeah, it might be. I can't remember.
Yeah, somebody may want to call in and correct me on that. But I mean, I'm just amazed at how they're able to take out leaders of their opposition. And, you know, I just hope they don't consider us, the opposition because of the things that we've been doing.
No doubt.
Yeah. I mean, they just took over, took out the leader of Hamas.
Did you see them on the street trying to stop and start?
Yeah.
That was not funny because somebody died, but
right. I know,
it was funny. But how are you going to evade the drone? You know you're not going to evade the drone.
Right. That's just,
jump out the car, whatever. You can't stay in the car.
Right.
You know,
that was Mossad that did that, though. That was amazing how they're able to infiltrate and find out things that you would think they wouldn't.
Absolutely.
But, you know, when God's on your side, you can't lose. So, I mean, I just hope that we're always on Israel's side. That's all I'm saying, because it doesn't seem like we are anymore.
Well, I put that on a post this morning on my Facebook, and boy, did I get attacked by Christians. That's what's getting me here, that there's so many people that say that they're Christians, and they have no idea what the Bible says about anything. If they understood that, they wouldn't vote the way that they vote. They wouldn't do the things they do. Because all these people, I know a lot of these people that say that Christians really are saved. They really love the Lord as much as they know to. But
well, wasn't Jim and Tammy Faye Christians?
Yeah, but I mean, they did not believe God. They just took a lot of money.
They worship the Almighty Dollar.
Well, I mean, I don't know if they worshiped it. They just got into sin.
Yeah.
See, there's a difference. There's a big difference. They just got into, illicit sex, which is really easy to do for when you're sitting at the top of the pile and nobody else is there up there with you.
Yeah.
You have to look at it like David. David was the king of Israel. And they were in a battle, and he took leave of the battle and came home and rested for a minute because he was the king. And so he came back, and that's when he saw Bathsheba taking a bath on the roof, because that's where everybody took their bath in those days, was on the roof. And then he thought, oh, man, she looks so good. I got to have her. And then he went into sin. While he should have been fighting, he was not fighting. He was enjoying himself. But that's just, that's human nature.
Yeah, it is.
It's human nature. So
there's a part of me that thinks a battle is going to be more enjoyable than a... I mean, what's the difference after a while?
After a while, I don't know, man. I don't know. You missed us last weekend. Hey, Alex. He must have gone off,
yeah,
offline.
Yeah. No,
okay.
Here.
Last weekend, Ben missed it when we were talking about women and black women, whether they knew how to treat men.
I don't know why you. Boy, I think it's any woman.
I think it is too. I think it's the nature of women. I think it's the nature of American women, mm-hmm, that the culture here is that of man eating. Man eater.
I mean, you got to realize this is the first time in history God admits he made a mistake.
Ah! Oh!
He created man. He says, "Wait, something's missing." And he creates, and he just made things worse. You know, it's like one of those things.
Oh God! I'm not in that God. Let me, you hit Ben. yes, sir.
That proverb, two wrongs don't make a right, should have wasn't around back then.
No, nobody was doing that one, I don't think.
Yeah, that's probably why he created dogs after.
Dogs. Yeah, because we need a friend somewhere.
Exactly.
What the? Man, this is crazy. But, man, Ben, this it's something out here. For all the things that happened, that we were telling people last year and the year before, if we move away from Israel, these things are going to start happening. Mm-hmm. Our stock market going down with no coincidence.
And you know what? What really gets me is you listen to these liberals and these liberal news media shows. They say, well, this is the new economy. Okay, so we're supposed to all accept that we're worse off than before, and it's okay.
Yeah, yeah, you are.
No, it's not a new economy. It's a depression. It's a bad economy.
Yes, yes, it is.
That's what it is.
I'm playing this in honor of all the men that are on the air right now. Men of the air right now, listen. I know your wife is acting nice and everything like that, but guess what?
Uh-huh. Be afraid.
Be afraid. Afraid. They only come out at night. Uh-huh. Ain't that right?
Uh-huh.
Preach, Daryl. Was that John? I don't know which one is which.
He has a new show on television. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
Yeah, it's on one of the music stations. Daryl's house.
Really?
He got an old farmhouse. He redid it. He made a studio out of it. He
brings
people in and they perform songs live. It's great. He has CeeLo there.
Right.
Wonderful.
Oh, CeeLo's a bad boy now.
That guy's got a voice and he has such control over it. It's amazing.
The man. CeeLo Green.
Yes. Don't like what he sings sometimes.
No. I mean, he can say, how you make a song called F U?
He must have been
and it's
married.
A hit.
He must have been married too.
Oh, yeah, he was. You tell he was. What? Uh-huh. Alex, are you in agreement with this song?
No comment, man.
Wait. Let me translate. My wife is in the room listening. See? Am I right, Alex? See? My wife is listening, or she's in the room with me.
Well, she might be, or I might hear it next time I come. We
yes,
come back
sir.
Home, Youngstown.
Oh wow! You in trouble, man? You are in trouble.
My wife is calling
out. Yeah, go ahead. Well, we're still playing this song. Well, anyway, that's how we feel. We love our wives, we love our girlfriends and significant others, but you know what? They can be rough, buddy. They can be rough. My goodness. But, hey, man, what you going to do? Can't live with them, can't live without. At least that's how I see it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, Alex, I will talk to you again on that other stuff, but one of these days I'm going to finally get around to
my wife, you heard me on the air. Yeah.
I hope you locked up. I hope you locked up that cabinet at home.
The gun cabinet.
Yes.
No,
No, Lord have mercy.
I got my bulletproof vest though.
All right, good, good. Just do like this.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, I want to get into some of the more supernatural things that I believe in. And I mean, that's not going to be something that I can do here all the time because a lot of people are not going to be able to get to that. But, you know, one of the things is people, how do they, you know, this is something biblically that I understand that a lot of people don't understand, and that is, what are UFOs? Are there other creatures that aren't human beings that live on the earth? How's that one for a subject?
Well, there's some evidence of that, you know.
Huge evidence, does it match biblically?
Where you lose me is when you tie it into the Bible, and you know.
Oh, so that's the only thing I can tie it into, because that's.
Well,
that's
no, you could. There's other sources you can tie it into. That's what you choose to tie it into, you know, because that's your faith.
Well, it is my faith, and I'll say it like this.
Right.
Think about it, though. The only book that describes everything that we see and deal with has been described there first.
Well, that's what you're seeing, but, you know, everybody doesn't agree. I mean, people say, oh, see, look what the Bible says, but it predicted this or it said this would happen. And you know, you even have, you know, preachers that disagree with that, you know.
I don't care. I could give a flip about a preacher disagreeing with me. You know why? Because I went and got it for myself. I could care less what a preacher thinks or doesn't think when I know something to be the truth. There are beings that are around the earth, and obviously they're up in the air because the Bible says, ask Job, do you understand who the watchers are and what's their responsibility to watch over the affairs of men? And so when you see that, and you don't hear nobody saying anything about the watchers, what happened? Why didn't they say? Well, it's right there. The oldest book in the Bible is Job, not Genesis. Okay?
Right, yeah. Yep.
Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And full of principle, full of all types of things, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll say it again. That's why I discount a whole bunch of different things that people are saying, because they don't deal with the things that the Bible says. Who are the watchers? What is a demon? What is an angel? Who are the angels? That a third of them fell out of heaven.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you consult with Jewish people about, because a lot of things that you're pulling from is their book, their Pentateuch.
Absolutely.
So have you, because a lot of things that you say are actually in contradiction to, the way you interpret things is in contradiction with what they believe. You know,
I wouldn't say that at all. It might be in contradiction to what some of the modern day Jews believe, but it is not in contradiction to the interpretations of the Old Testament as it was interpreted when it was written. So you have to go back to the original language and go through it.
Yeah.
You have to go back to the Aramaic. You have to go back to the Hebrew. You have to go back to the Greek.
But there's rabbis, there's scores of rabbis that do that, and I have rabbis that are you know, personal confidants, friends, and so and they do that. They study the Hebrew as well as the Aramaic and the Greek, because some of them were most of the surviving records are in Greek because of the Septuagint, but So they do that, but and they come to different conclusions, you know, about, you know, necessarily tying extraterrestrials or aliens and things like that to.
Wait a minute. Here, in their view, it's they're all going to be angels, and which is actually my view. I think that what we're calling extraterrestrials. When you have 1 in 7 people that have seen extraterrestrials, number two, you have 1 in 5 people that say they've been abducted by extraterrestrials. And then you have a mindset of a person called the devil who corrupted the human bloodline twice, both before the flood and afterwards. Then many of those angels were put in chains by God, the Bible says, until their day of judgment for doing that. Now, they created these things. They created the giants, the giants that we know about. We have historical fact of giants as tall as 36 foot tall.
Well, but how do you know that there's multiple explanations for that? I mean, other cultures talk about giants as well. I mean, you can go to surviving Egyptian records, and why don't you look at their story
about their
explanation of the giants?
And
it's completely contradictory to, you know, the giants that were supposedly in the land of the Canaanites. They have their own story. Actually, Africans have their own story about where these giants came from.
The American Indian does too.
Yeah.
They all say that they came, that, you know what they're getting? They're getting that they all came from a particular star, okay? Mm-hmm. And that this is where they're from, and even that many of the ancient peoples had drawings of star maps, which they could not see. Go ahead.
Right, but how do you know that we are simply just not the descendants of these travelers, interspace travelers, and not necessarily they're aliens. What if those aliens are us?
Like I said, I don't know that. I just believe differently because I believe the biblical story. Do I believe that there's ever such a thing as some part of evolution? Yes, I do. Absolutely, because you didn't have time till the third day of creation. So what happened in those first 2 days, and how much time was that 2 days compared to our 24-hour day? I think one didn't have nothing to do with the other. And so you know, it's oh, man, we're at the end of the day, bro. So afternoon with Tracy and friends. We got a little deep today. You know, if you're yawning out there, I'm sorry that I made you yawn out there, but I think that that's a very, 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 very real something that we can talk about one day. Maybe we'll get it done when the snow is on the ground and we don't know what else to do, okay?
Yes.
Afternoon with Tracy and friends. We love you. We will see you next week. God bless everybody. And hold your head up.